From the Farm Credit Illinois Fielding Forward Meeting in Milford, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 30th day of January. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll be joined by Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist. He's written an article today for the Farm Doc Daily website. You can find that at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu about the 2018 crop budgets and what conditions look like for income, especially on cash-rented farms this year. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day, a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Oh, and we'll have a special interview with the owner of Imagine, which is where I am today, a refurbished lumberyard that now acts as a great venue. And we'll hear a whole lot more about it for weddings and meetings and all sorts of other things in this part of the world here at Milford. The Closing Market Report, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. I'm coming to you today from Milford, Illinois, at one of the Fielding Forward Farm Credit Illinois meetings, and we're in Imagine, or Town and Country, which is a facility here we'll hear more about in just a bit, a reimagined lumberyard, and it is just fantastic. The owner and a farmer will join us to talk about it. Now, let's turn our attention, speaking to farmers, to Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. He's a farmer and a broker. Thanks, Wayne, for being with us today. I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, our pleasure, Todd, and we got some good news for farmers today.
Yep. Well, tell me about that, please. What happened in Chicago?
Well, you know, the continued dry weather in Argentina, continued wet weather in northern Brazil is keeping the grain markets going strong and keeping fund short covering going strong today. You know, as of noon, the funds had bought 4,000 meal, 8,000 beans, 4,000 corn, and 2,000 wheat. And we broke through some of the technical barriers we looked at. We hadn't seen resistance in the March corn at 360 and a half. And here in the last 10 minutes of trade, why we're seeing we're a penny over that in the corn at 61 and a half. We're 5 cents over to $10 in the beans on the 995. And the wheat, of course, is staying very strong with the highly decreased wheat ratings that we saw come out last night. So all of the grains have big green numbers.
Yeah, so just as a reminder to folks, when I travel, sometimes we record early, so you and I aren't exactly live to tape, but we're recording about 5 after the hour of 1 o'clock today. So most of the trade is done. I'm wondering whether producers are thinking they should take advantage of this move in either old or new crop, and whether that be corn, soybeans, or wheat. What do you think?
Well, I think depending on where they're at as far as their marketing, there's some things to put in here. I know that we've got a lot of open orders that come in today to sell just a little bit higher on both corn and beans when we get a chance. I know there's a lot of guys looking for if they can get anywhere near $4 for cash corn for, say, January delivery or something for next year, and you know what it takes to do that. We're saying that that's really some good ideas. We're seeing a lot of beans come in anywhere in the 10-15 to 10-20 bracket as far as people want to market some there. So we think that compared to what we've seen, you know, the forecasts say 2 weeks of dry weather, but there's a lot of the different forecasters saying after February 10th we could see a little change in the high-pressure ridge that's going across South America. And if, you know, a fair amount of rain could come in, then why we might not continue to run upwards.
You mentioned $4 cash corn. I take it it's really important for both old and new crop that producers watch their bases. And they're in the area users, because there are some opportunities that do come up.
Yeah, I know, you know, in our area today, there was one of the commercials that was sending out text messages to their farmers, and they were offering $4 for Jan, Feb, March. as far as their cash bids went. So we are seeing some possibilities of getting that $4 cash out there.
Is there a way that the end user manages the risk on that once they put that $4 bid out there? That seems like a pretty, at least at this point in time, healthy bid for corn.
Well, it is. But if you look ahead to next March, corn, the March of 19 is trading at 402. So that's two under. Basically, if you are a plant out there, and of course this one is associated with an ethanol plant, they can buy that corn, have it locked in, and they can sell a call against that and collect about 28 cents. So they can knock that down so it's not quite as bad. So that's how they're probably managing it.
Here we are at the last day of January, at the end of this week, last 2 days for trading this week. We'll begin the February crop insurance setting month. Will these kind of prices make a difference in the acreage figures that we see the 29th day of March?
Well, I think they could easily. I mean, as we look here and see, there might be some acres that we're going to be switched to something else if we can get decent enough guarantees on them, might stay in corn and beans. But the one thing we would really like to see is these numbers be big enough that at the end, when the farmers go out to the field this year, that they can not lock, you know, they're at the area where the insurance numbers can sort of give them a good base under their marketing program.
If things go properly, I suppose by the end of this week, we will have a good base to start that, though it doesn't take long for the market to reach the top end of its range and begin to turn lower. Are there reasons fundamentally now for us to stay at the top end of the range or to move beyond that to a higher level?
Well, you know, as we're looking down, we've seen the estimates come out of South America. The estimates out of Argentina now are at 51 million metric tons on the beans. You know, the USDA has them at 56. The corn, they've dropped 3 million from 42 down to 39. And Brazil, we're up a couple million in the beans. So, you know, net, we've dropped 4 million metric tons in the world production between U.S. and Brazil. And the corn, they're 5 million under. So there's some mix that way. We are also the dollar being going down and staying down has helped our competitiveness in the world market, and our corn sales are continuing to grow and pick up, and they would have been really lagging early. And if we could see that continue on, if we can see the pace of planting of Safrina corn in South America and maybe the acres drop back there, why, that could give our corn a little better shot also.
I mean, right about now should be the time we begin to see that pace to pick up for at least exports for corn, maybe not so much for soybeans.
Right, and of course we got to remember, the American farmer's probably sold a lot higher percentage of his beans so far, and they're getting a little stubborn and looking for a little higher price before they sell the beans. But we've seen a lot of corn, cash corn, moved in the market today.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Well, as you know, I'm traveling today in Milford, Illinois, with Farm Credit Illinois for one of their Fielding Forward crop insurance meetings. This one's in Milford in the northeastern, east-central part of Illinois. Milford, not a very large community, fairly isolated in a rural area. And we are today at a venue called Imagine. I'm pretty certain it's not very old, and it's really wonderful on the inside. Not quite certain what the building would have been. I'm going to guess something like a lumber yard or maybe an old grocery store, some kind of warehouse, but it's been redone. Fairly large, takes maybe half a block up in total, and it's become a fantastic, beautiful venue on the inside for weddings and meetings. And we're joined by farmer and owner of this facility now, Colleen Caldwell. Thank you so much for being here. Tell me about Imagine and this building, when you bought it, how you've renovated all sorts of things.
So this is actually my sixth project in Milford. It was my dream to restore buildings. So this one is is connected to Town and Country, and that's the latest project that we've done. It's a wedding event venue, but it serves to be multiple things for the community, including, you know, anniversaries, birthday parties, and such. So it was an old lumber yard. Either you're a good guesser or somebody told you. So it underwent 11-month renovation. My daughter and my son and I renovated it because we knew in Iroquois County we don't have places to have wedding receptions or events. So we made it into two different ones. If you've seen it, there's a classic side that's more refined, and then this side, it's the barn side. So we wanted to address both kind of personalities, I guess.
So there are options here, and yes, I made a guess at the lumberyard. Nobody told me that. I've just been around a lot of small towns, and this is what it looked like to me on the inside. You redid this on your own, but for instance, the rafters, I was just looking up. You didn't just let the rafters stand. You cleaned them and stained them. I can't imagine the amount of labor and staff hours it had to take to make this facility as gorgeous as it is on the inside. The doors are fantastic. The brick wall is beautiful. The floors are fantastic. How much labor did you put into it?
Well, it was 11 months from start to finish, which isn't that horrible. You ought to see the before pictures. So then you would really be amazed. But we wanted to keep the character, because that's the most important thing to me, is saving the history, because you can't build these nowadays because it would be too cost prohibitive. So in order to save what was here and just build on it and try to work with it, just spoke to us and how it wanted to be, and and the community is totally behind it, and we've got 22 weddings booked already, and we just opened the doors, so we're totally thrilled that we could provide this and to show other small towns that it's possible.
Yeah, so the building spoke to you. There are things in here, for instance, that I know had to be fairly original from this building or from someplace close by. The door behind me, which is a large entrance door that you would roll in and out of with, in this day of age, a small fork truck or something, but a hand truck at that point in time. A rolling door, like on a barn. I suspect it's brand new. It's hung there. It's over a brick wall, so I know it's not where the door was originally.
It is original. I tricked you on that one. It would have slid across their double doors now, but it would have been an entrance door. And so we were lucky to have that one. It's an original track, an original door, and we just, if we could find something savable, we definitely used what we could, and otherwise we use things from, say, my farm or, anywhere we could find old repurposed items.
What is it that's been driving you to renovate in Milford? You've done a number of renovations. You gave me the number up front. I don't recall. So let me know what that is again, and then why.
This is my sixth, and I have a goal of seven, so I've got one more on my goal. It started off just seeing the small towns disappearing and seeing the decay, and along with that goes the people's pride in the town. But if you can bring it back, everyone in the town is just so excited that the town, is coming back to life, especially with this wedding event venue. People, the cars are just amazing. I imagine it back in the day when they say that, the town was bustling. It's bustling again. So that's what drives me, is that eventually these downtown buildings will be non-existent, and maybe this will be the only town, Milford, Illinois, that will still have downtown buildings.
Yeah, so what other buildings have you done, and what are they?
So other ones house other businesses, such as a hairdresser, the town newspaper, and we use several of them for this venture because we need an office space for this. And then we've also provided bride preparation spaces and groom preparation spaces. So really, we're trying to focus the whole downtown now on weddings.
Fantastic. It's a wonderful place. Where can people visit and see this? I'll post some photos, of course, to the willag.org website. But if they want to see what you've done, what this looks like, maybe, I don't know, book an event, where do they go?
Excellent. So it's Town and Country Events, and we're located on Facebook under that. We've got a web page, and it's townandcountryevent.com. And you can call me, Colleen Caldwell, at 217-304-9568.
Hey, Colleen, thank you so much. And thanks for hosting the Farm Credit Illinois meeting today, too.
Very welcome. Thank you.
Colleen Caldwell, of course, is the owner of Farmer right here in Milford, Illinois. And if you get the opportunity to come to a
I don't know, a wedding or something at this particular building, just drive by, look even inside the doors. It is fantastic. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined by Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of M. You can find his thoughts on marketing as well as crop insurance and crop budgets on the FarmDoc Daily website. In fact, he's written a new article that's posted there today, and it'll look at crop budgets for the 2018 growing season. Not pretty from your perspective for those who are cash renting farms.
Yeah, we're looking at budgeting for 2018. And if you use what we would consider trend line yields, and that's roughly in central Illinois for higher productivity land, 200 bushels for corn, 60 bushels for soybeans, 360 fall bid price for corn, 950 to 960 for soybeans, you're going to result in very low to negative returns on cash rent farmland. And actually, that's the same story we've been telling in 2016 and 2017. If you do budgeting beforehand, you're looking at pretty low incomes. Past 2 years, 2016 and 2017, what saved us or had caused our incomes overall to be positive were high yields. You know, we had 20 bushels above that on corn, 70 bushel beans on soybeans was not uncommon. And so we've had good incomes the past 2 years because of yields. And now, are we going to expect that to continue into 2018?
Again, so for highly productive soils in central Illinois, and I think the numbers you use in the FarmDoc Daily article are going to be, what, 360 cash for corn, 970 for soybeans. When they build their budgets, what kind of yields should they put in?
Well, so, yeah, that's the question of the hour. If they put those 202 bushel, and we would be saying this year for that type land, 202 bushels for corn, 60 bushels for soybeans would be our trend line yield. Again, that will result in negative numbers. If you want to have a positive cash flow, you're either going to have $4 corn on that budget and above $10 soybeans, or you're going to have to put in higher yields. And again, putting, you know, 220 corn yield in there and a 70 bushel soybean yields will get you close to break even. Again, that's the same situation as we've had in 2016 and 2017. So we're again rolling the dice again. We either need yields above what we would regard as trend or higher prices.
Well, personally, I want to feel better about it, so I come with the higher trends in, but that may be fooling myself.
So, yeah, well, that is the question, you know, honestly, is that the past several years, you know, we have been budgeting, and we always present a pretty dreary picture at this point in time. Last 2 years, we've had high yields. Well, what is it going to be this year? And actually, the worst sort of situation farmers could face, in my opinion, is one where we have sort of trend yields and prices where we're at, which actually was pretty close to what happened in 2015. Go back into 2015, we had near trend yields and prices where they're at now, and overall net incomes averaged zero in the state.
Because acreages for both corn and soybeans have been large and are expected to remain large.
Yep. So we're still there, and 2018 could turn out to be a good year, but again, if you're planning for that, you have to look for something like at the prices we're at right now, above trend yields or higher prices.
How'd you come up with the 360 and the 970 cash prices?
360 and 970 are current bids within central Illinois, so I looked at some bid prices, and that's what they were actually yesterday.
Anything a farmer could do today to make sure that their budgets are more in line?
So today there's probably not a lot that we can do. I would still suggest looking at pre-harvest pricing some of the crop, because those prices, if particularly if we have a large crop, could be on the high end of what actually happens in 2018. So doing some pre-harvest hedging would be good. But and then the other thing is continuing to look at lowering those costs and maybe switching to more soybeans if we can. But we're pretty much in this situation where we have to hope for one of those two things.
I'd say thanks, but I'm not sure that's in order. Still, thanks for coming down.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm in Milford at a Farm Credit Illinois meeting. We're now joined by Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. What a gorgeous day it here it is in the Midwest.
Yes, enjoying not a bad looking late January day at all. Southwest winds are going to be warming our temperatures up a little bit more here towards midweek before we colder weather arrived this weekend.
We'll get back to that in a minute, but let's go where the action has been, both for the CME Group and I think for meteorologists following agriculture to South America, Argentina in particular. They've been dry. The forecast have flipped and flopped. I think the last time I heard, they were not expecting rainfall for at least 7 days. What can you tell me?
Well, there is very little in the way of any significant or widespread rainfall for Argentina over the next week or so. There is going to be one area in north central and northwest Argentina that is starting to look like it's got a chance of maybe getting some rainfall here over the next 5 or 6 days. The better rains, which has been the case for most of the seasons, have been up north into Brazil. That general trend could continue. So stressful dry conditions in Argentina will grow, although there might be a small portion of northwest Argentina's growing areas to get a little bit.
Better rains, you said, in parts of Brazil. They've been wet trying to get their harvest started. Better rains, but are they enough to keep them out of the field?
Yeah, I think in areas of Brazil that look like there may be some problems being too wet would be the northern growing areas. We don't expect anything excessive in the central and southern growing areas of Brazil. But there is going to be some rainfall just about overall Brazil, favoring the north.
And then come here to the United States. Tell me about the weather forecast we have for maybe the next 10 days in the Midwest.
Well, we are going to be looking at winter doing a reboot. Basically, what we see coming into the first week of February is going to be somewhat similar to what we saw in late December and early January, which is the reintroduction of some Arctic air moving into the nation's midsection. While we may not, at least here in the next, let's say, week, see severe bitter cold like what we saw in late December and early January, certainly a trend to colder than normal temperatures are coming, with more cold likely coming towards the middle of the month. So the February that we see unfolding for the lower 48 states is going to be in contrast to the last two. The winters of 16 and 17, the months of February, those 2 years, were warmer than normal. Looks like this year temperatures are going to trend towards the colder than normal side.
And along with that, we probably should check in very quickly on the hard red winter wheat growing areas from Texas to where you happen to live. Lack of snow cover, it's all been awfully dry, and cold weather could be a problem.
It will be. Unfortunately, the signature of dryness, which is something due you would expect in a La Nina, which we're in, is continuing in those areas. The driest areas of Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, there is a little bit of precipitation in the forecast, but more often than not, they're going to be drier than normal over the next 10 to 14 days. The areas that are going to be favored for better precipitation will stay north and west of those areas.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thanks, Don.
That, of course, is Don Day. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Look us up online at willag.org, willag.org. It is public radio for the farming world.